The first time I saw you, I knew we'd be linked forever. For you, I traveled to the four corners of the world. I faced adversity. I became a hero.
Dad.
I saved your kingdom.
Dad.
Yes, Zelda?
Are you mixing me up with the princess again?
Hard to say. You're both pretty magical.
This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use. I'm Scott Johnson, and it's August 14th, 2014. Hello, whoa, what are you doing, man? What are you doing here? Welcome to The Boop Show. This is Boop. Episode, what are we on, six? Good Lord. Episode six of this gaming show. It's news and commentary. It's what you come here for. Microsoft is essentially dumping the Kinect. Did you notice this? I kind of felt like this already, but as of Gamescom, which we talk a lot about today in our headlines, they didn't seem to have anything to do with Kinect at all. It's all new bundles that are Kinectless and no games that use it. Like, just straight up, in a year's time, we went from this is the most revolutionary second edition of a peripheral you'll ever use in your entire technologically linked life. It is everything to the experience. And now they don't care. I mean, for all intents and purposes, out, gone. Now, you think I'm being negative about this? I'm not. I see this as a good thing. Competition, lining up with core gamers. That's what Microsoft seems to be doing right now, and that's good. They've got some cool, exciting things coming. For the first time since it was launched, I'm actually excited to get a Xbox One. I may have to wait for one of these bundles, though, because they look pretty hot. Especially, well, one of them's coming with a hard drive I want, but not the game it's coming with. Yeah, we'll get to all that in a minute. But do you see what they're doing? They're doing what you're asking them to do. This is good. It's good for gaming. It's good for Microsoft. It's good for all of us. So I say, both hands on the wheel. Bring it. Let's go, Microsoft. Let's get back to what you do best. Screw the Kinect. Screw this weird TV initiative stuff. Just make great games and a good platform to play them on. It's all we care about. Okay, let's take a look at what happened at Gamescom. This is in Cologne, Germany. Gamescom, the world's perhaps second most important gaming conference. I don't know, I think that's you could argue that that's true. There's plenty of other cool things. PAX is great. You know, there's lots of conventions that are that have their place, but I feel like Gamescom is kind of the other side of the world's E3 and in some ways better than E3. I don't want to fight. I just telling you what I hear, okay? Well, let's get right into it. Let's look at Microsoft first. Microsoft announced a bunch of stuff. Xbox One preview program is expanding to feature stuff that includes improved friend selection, the ability to view messages, friends, parties, achievements via sort of snapped app. You know, they got that going on in there, so they want to make that convenient. And the ability to play media from a USB device following DLNA protocols, which is something neither console has supported up to this point, something that used to be supported on previous gen consoles. So all you guys who want to watch all your movies, pirated or otherwise, will now have a way to do that. Having that come from a USB device, that's kind of a big deal. Now they're talking my language. I got a lot of ripped DVDs that I don't like having all my DVDs out and in a machine. I like to rip them, have the files, put the DVDs in storage, and then play them that way. If you're telling me I can do that in a much simpler way on the Xbox One, kind of like I used to, then we can talk. Also, Crystal Dynamics revealed that Rise of the Tomb Raider will be Xbox exclusive. Xbox. Yeah, you heard me. An Xbox One exclusive. They said this, quote, yes, the deal has a duration. Ooh, this is Phil Spencer. He told Eurogamer this. He says, I didn't buy it. I don't own the franchise, meaning They can get up and say exclusive to Xbox One, but what they really mean is timed exclusive to the Xbox One. As soon as I heard him say exclusive Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider on Xbox One, I went, that won't be, you know, just like No Man's Sky is a timed exclusive and half a million other games are that. They all play this game. And a lot of us keep just buying into it. Oh, did you hear? Tomb Raider exclusive. No. Just for a little bit of time. Not for the whole time. Hold on a second. Third Xbox bundle, Sunset Overdrive. Stars in this new package, which will be white, by the way. I kind of sexy hot white console. I like that. I'm into that. We'll hit retail in October on the 28th. I guess that coincides with the launch of that game. That one looks exciting. They also have a Advanced Warfare bundle. That thing has a terabyte hard drive in it. I'm thinking that might be the one to get, even though it's got like Call of Duty crap printed all over it, and it comes with a game I'm not that excited about. I mean, I kind of am, but not really. But I want that terabyte drive. And have that thing still come in at the price point you want? Ooh. It's also a FIFA bundle, I think primarily in the European market, but I'm not 100% sure if it won't come here or not. Anyway, bundles aplenty coming out of Microsoft. That's what you do when you're a little bit behind. You put out bundles with big name games and that helps sell consoles. It's a smart thing. Microsoft and 343 announced that the new Halo-themed digital destination for PC and Xbox called the Halo Channel is coming. The channel broadcasts live Twitch-enabled gameplay and offers original content based around the Halo series. Basically creating, well, it is what you just called it. It's the Halo Channel. You want more Halo? Good time to get involved, I guess. The beta program for Halo 5 Guardians will now launch on December 29th. And that's about it for Microsoft. Sony had stuff to say. Here's their roundup. They sold 10 million consoles so far to date. That's a pretty big deal. That puts them in a sizable lead. I hope they don't get too cushy with that lead and forget about what got them there, which is a lot of scrappy stuff over the last year. So let's see if they can hang on. Ruffian Games, creator of Crackdown 2, announced a four-player co-op shooter called Hollow Point. This supposedly is a exclusive. I would argue that's probably timed once again. DayZ is making its way to the PS4. I wonder if I'll be just as bad at it there. It will have enhanced visuals thanks to what they are calling, quote, an entirely new cross-platform renderer, unquote. So that's a thing. That's a deal. Sony announced and detailed new improvements coming to PS4 itself via an update this fall, big fall update. Namely, the system will receive a share play feature, which allows PS Plus members to play any game cooperatively with friends that don't own a copy themselves across the globe as if on a virtual couch. That, according to joystick.com. That's exciting. I like that idea. More of that, please. You know, that saves people money. And being a Plus member, you know, if you're not already doing that, then you're crazy. They didn't do a lot of Vita talk. That's unfortunate. Some see that as a sign that Sony's distancing itself from that platform. I don't necessarily agree with that. And they're doing a lot of cross-play releases, and there are still games coming out, but they just aren't talking a lot about it. Then again, they're talking about the Vita TV thing, so I suspect they'll say more coming up for the remainder of this year or next year. I guess we'll have to see. Sony unveiled a chilling first-person horror game known as PT, the interactive teaser. This is on PSN now, and I am terrified to try it, but maybe I will. I'll give it a shot. So that's the thing. I hear it's scary. That's you guys on Twitter are telling me that it's scary, and I'll take your word for it. And I don't like scary games. I'm a puss. I'm a giant puss. Resogun developer Housemarque. I love these guys. Announced a new P. I always call them House Martin, but that's not it. It's Housemarque. Announced a new PS4 exclusive, a fast-paced shooter called Alienation. Not Alien Nation, like Alienation. And I'm all in on that because I like Resogun and I also liked their zombie deal. What was that called? Not Zombie Nation? I think it is, isn't it? Dead Nation. Sorry, Dead Nation. Alien Nation maybe is the same thing with aliens. I don't know. But I like their top-down approach to shooters. I like dual-stick shooters, and I really liked... What was the PS3 launch game? Downloadable. Stardust HD. I like that a lot. Thought that was really good. Rayman creator Michael Ancel, is that how you say his name? I hope so. Revealed a PS4-only open-world game known as Wild to the closed press conference. Don't know much about this other than good pedigree on that guy. And he says it's exclusive to PS3 or 4. I don't know if that's true. Like I said, skeptical of anything people call third-party exclusive. I don't know why they would do that. First-party, I get it. You're never going to see, you know, freaking Uncharted on anything else but a Sony platform, and you're never going to see Halo on anybody else but a Microsoft platform, you know, except maybe Windows. But when it comes to third-party exclusives, I always call foul because I think they're full of crap. It eventually ends up on other stuff. Why wouldn't you? You make a ton of money. Yeah, there's advantages to doing the exclusive thing, but that's for Microsoft or Sony. The big advantage for you as a third party is to be on as many platforms as you can and play anywhere you can. That is what you want. Oh, some more news out of the conference that isn't Sony or Microsoft related. Open world skiing game Snow coming to PS4 as a platform exclusive. Again, platform exclusive. Although I think this is, this was an Oculus Rift deal and was announced for the PC. And I want to say that people have, I don't know this for sure, but hasn't there been a demo or something out? I don't remember. There is no word on what's different about PS4 versions versus the PC version. But Poppermost, that's the developer, is showing the PC version at Gamescom. We assume Project Morpheus would work well and be supported, because if you're going to put VR support in there, why wouldn't that translate nicely to that? Anyway, looks interesting. Screenshots of the PC version kind of make me think it looks a little dull, a little barren, a little flat. But when I get my hands on it, maybe I'll turn around. Sierra is back. Sierra Online, remember them? Adventure games, stuff like that. Also the publisher of the original Half-Life. Think about that for a minute. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. We heard about the logo and all that other stuff. Now we know what's going on. They are bringing Geometry Wars and King's Quest, to start with anyway, back to the world. 6 years after the company closed, a casualty of the merger between parent company Vivendi and Activision, Sierra is back. This according to Eurogamer. There's even better news, it says. The return sees an all-new Geometry Wars, as well as a fresh installment of the King's Quest series. The new Geometry Wars, called Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions, comes from Lucid Games, the developer formed using ex-Bizarre Creation staff. These are the guys that did the original Geometry Wars. And the fantastic but underrated, Blur was called. That racing game, Blur? It's like Mario Kart for adults. That was awesome. This will be fully 3D as opposed to its 2D predecessors. I don't know how I feel about that. Due out later this year. No platforms have been announced. Series creator Stephen Cakebread wasn't working at Lucid Games last time we checked. So that's, you know, that, take that for what you want. Anyway, I'm excited about this game because I love Geometry Wars and I don't know where it's going to end up. This was a Microsoft joint before, right? Couldn't get it anywhere else. But now, who knows? It's part of Activision. They don't do platform exclusives. This could go anywhere. How very exciting. Star Wars, The Old Republic. Remember that game? It's easy to write it off, but it's boasting over 1 million monthly players. Massively is reporting that every month, more than 1 million players are logging in, playing with their friends, and embarking on their own personal Star Wars saga, says EA at a Gamescom press event. So if you're one of these million players, you'd like to know probably that Galactic Stronghold expansion deal is being released next Tuesday. That's August 19th for subscribers. So that's next Tuesday for those subbed to the game. I assume that means the way they work it, it's free to play game, but you got to sub to it to get the expansions right away or however. I'm not sure how that works. That's nice to see it's doing okay, you know? I don't like seeing MMOs go away. I mean, I think the competition's good. They got creamed by WoW, but they found a new life as a free-to-play game, and that's good. I think that's good. Minecraft enters final testing before the PS4 debut. Developer 4J Studios says they're handling this. Quote, we've handed Minecraft PlayStation 4 edition over to Sony for final testing. It's according to a brief message alongside the image that this was posted with this article. I got it on joystick. PlayStation 4 edition brings with it a number of unique textures and features, including additional support for the little touchpad on your DualShock 4 finally that thing gets some use. Well, whatever. There's some other games that use it pretty well. I don't mind how I can kind of fiddle around with the map in real time while I'm playing Rogue Legacy. That's a pretty cool thing to do. Kind of see where you're at a glance. And let's see. They're going to allow game transfers from PS3 and Xbox 360 versions. And there is some Sony-specific DLC after release, again, according to 4J Studios. So that's exciting if you're into the Minecraft. Are you into the Minecraft? That's a thing. Got emails here. I think I'm not going to read any more reviews. Some people like them, but most of you don't like them. You think it's mean. So I don't want to be mean. I take your feedback. I take it seriously. And enough of you have had a problem with it. So we'll give it a break for now, okay? Not saying it's gone forever, but it's gone for now. These are emails I got today. We're doing emails. If you want to send an email into the show, it's super easy. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's BOOPshow@gmail.com. I also like your phone calls. We got some, but I didn't have time to prep them. So there'll be some calls next week. But normally they'd be on the show today. But that number is 206-339-1320. Send me your email, send me your calls. Love to play them on the show and read them on the show. Sparky's Shocker wrote in. That name is to be believed, and asked the following question. As long as digital downloads in terms of consoles aren't discounted due to their lack of packaging and shipping, retail outlets will have somewhat of an upper hand. I personally subscribe to the Best Buy Gamers Club Unlocked when I was offered a 50% discount or so for $30, normally $60. I have been getting 20% off games on top of the Reward Zone points program. Although Steam has digital distribution stuff figured out, I think we are a long way off from seeing it happen on the console side. I kind of agree. I don't know about long, long way, but we're not near close enough. Games with gold and the PlayStation Plus free games are nice on top of our subs. When digital games aren't brought down to the 5 to 10%, from the console stores, I will always use my local Best Buy first. He says, yeah, Best Buy is the devil sometimes, but my only other option where I am is a GameStop, which is the devil all the time, says Sparky Shocker. Yeah, I agree. I can't find much in what you're saying there to disagree with. That's the thing we're all waiting for, right? Like, because these are digital, they don't have packaging and distribution and warehousing and all the costs that are involved with moving a disc. They are making so much more profit on them. And I'll tell you what, the industry doesn't want that to go down. They're loving it that we're willing to spend $59 for a download of a digital game on a console or even a PC before we are willing to go into the store and pick up the raw one. Why? Because they know how much lower their costs are, and they have immediately bumped their profit up because there's none of those costs involved. There are different costs involved, but not near what they cost to make a disc and ship it. So they don't want this to go down. It's going to come down to players demanding it and not paying prices that are too high. I mean, I don't know when this happens, because as long as people are willing to pay it, they will keep it there. They're happy to keep it at $59. In fact, they've been struggling to figure out how to raise the cost of games because inflation keeps growing and they can't grow with it because people aren't willing to pay more than $59, let's say. The day isn't here yet that we're willing to pay $79 for our game. So what's the way you deal with it? You have a bunch of digital downloads that are $59. People are dumb enough to pay it. And then you just pay it. They're not going to change that. Why would they change that? They will only change it when we do something to make them change it. Okay. It's up to us. We need to rise up. Hey, Scott, says Ben, I enjoyed a bit of the discussion you had with yourself on Monday's show about the future of esports. As a huge fan, it seems to me that the fighting game community does not get the same amount of coverage and exposure as the MOBA and RTS scene. Well, that's true. Don't get me wrong, StarCraft and StarCraft 2 are two of my favorite games of all time. Without them, esports wouldn't be what it is today, but games like Ultra Street Fighter 4, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and Super Smash Bros., or Brothers, as I prefer to say it, unlike the kids today, the three games of the highest viewership on Evo 2014 doesn't seem to get the attention they deserve. Where do you weigh in on this? Ben? I am all for esports, including all genres. I don't want it all to boil down to an RTS and a MOBA. I really don't. That's boring to me. But like hockey in the States or soccer here in the U.S. or basketball in other countries where it's not as big as it is here or whatever, you know, it's okay to have lesser known sports have a place. And I think that these games will. It's just that there's no unified platform, right? You know, you can get a deal on NBC to see football, baseball, basketball, hockey. But where's the place to see MOBAs, RTSs, first-person shooters, Unreal Tournament matches, Quake stuff, fighting games, retro games, new games? Like, there's no, there is no thing for that. That's where I think, that's when I think it changes, when that thing starts to exist. And it can't just be one company. Maybe it can be. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I think for all that to work, there just needs to be a unified way of seeing it all. Maybe Twitch is the great savior in all this. They can figure it out. They can swoop in and basically create a broadcast network, not just the platform we all stream on, but also be a network with the play-by-play people and the, you know, basically be NBC or be TNT or be ESPN. That seems reasonable to me, but I think they're in a position to maybe do it. There are others maybe, but it's got to be that, or I don't know how else we get it all in front of us. Justin Hall sent an email that says, Scott, many of the most anticipated games of 2014 have been pushed back to 2015. But does this not have to be a bad thing, or does it have to be a bad thing? Being a broke gamer, I look at this as a blessing. I do not have any of the new consoles, and I'm saving money to buy a PS4 early next year. Until then, I am playing all the amazing games I missed during the past console cycle. And since many of them have been out for years, I can pick them up cheaply. I can generally only afford 3 AAA titles a year. But if you do the math, I can turn that into 9 $20 greatest hits. This is just one of the perks of being a broke gamer and knowing how to spend your money. Justin Hall. There is definitely a push in the industry to make you want to buy the latest, greatest thing the day it comes out, and everything before it is dumb. You, sir, have figured it out. You are a Zen lord. This is exactly a great way to do it. I wish I could do this more. I do in some ways, but I also kind of want the hotness all the time, the new thing, right? Yeah, there has never been a better time to be a gamer who has lots of cheap ways to find game experiences that aren't necessarily the latest $60, you know, Halo game. So I'm with you, Ben, or Justin, rather. I'm talking to Justin now. You're not wrong. Send us your emails, boopshow@gmail.com. And as always, the phone number, 206-339-1320. I want to tell you what you should be playing this week. I cannot get my hands off of Rogue Legacy for the Vita and the PS4, mostly Vita. The fact that I've got that little booger in my bed and I can just go to it anytime I want and whip out a quick match and, you know, do a run is just so fun, so addicting, so good. I'm going to zero that game out. I'm going to finish it on that platform. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to do everything I can unlock, and I'm going to play every corner of that thing. I did most of it on the PC, but I'm ready to go all the way here. It's really good. It's as good as it ever was, but now just better in bed, on toilets, in the car, or in the bus. Don't do it while you're driving, but, you know, take a quick break from work, pull that thing out, quick run with a, you know, colorblind the mage with gigantism, and you're good. You're solid. I think you guys should be playing that. If you don't have a Vita or a PS4, get it on the PC. It's just a fantastic game. I love Rogue Legacy, and I can't stop playing it. So that's what I'm playing. That's what you should be playing. It's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. That's Monday for a new episode of Boop. I'd like you to go check us out on the web, frogpants.com/boop. All the archives, information about the show, where to get it, all that stuff's there. We're on Stitcher now, so search for us there as well. On iTunes. We're everywhere podcasts are found. Boopshow@gmail.com. On Twitter, @boopshow. BOOPSHOW. That's Boopshow on Twitter. We find our subreddit. A lot of these articles today and more come from the subreddit. I want to see that thing hopping. Boopshow.reddit.com. If you use it, then I'll use it. If you don't, well, I don't know what to tell you. You can catch streaming repeats of this show at alphageekradio.com. Our music brought to you by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra, specifically the album Music for a 1950s video game. You can support this show by buying stuff at the Frog Pants store at frogpants.com/store. I think that'll do it for us. Thank you all for being here. What a great week in gaming. Oh, and all that Blizzard stuff today, I didn't even mention it. It's all just about, you know, movies and stuff, like story and things. There's not like anything new happening with the game, but or what we knew about the expansion. But man, That's cinematic. Those guys know how to do it. Like nobody's business. No in-house animation team does like they do. Insane. If you haven't seen it, go check it out at worldofwarcraft.com. They have a link. 1080p goodness, man. It's really good. All right, that's it. Stay safe. Hug the ones you love. We'll see you next week.
ColecoVision and Sega Genesis.
Audio program so good, it's like you're there.